Welcome to the CCTA wake-up call. Thank you for joining us. We're on WTKF 107.1 on Saturday morning at 6 a.m., Sunday at 11 a.m., and again Sunday at 8 p.m. And we also have it our show available on our website, cctaxpayers.com. I'm Bob Griswold. I'm going to turn it to Mary.
Mary Griswold.
I'm Hal James.
I'm Alan Harrop.
And I'm Rainer James. And tonight, we are fortunate to have Rainer James with us, who is the head of the CCTA Issues Committee. And she keeps up with what's going on in our North Carolina legislature and in the U.S. Congress, and periodically sends out emails to our members telling them what's going on and suggesting sometimes that they might write an email or make a phone call about a particular issue. And Rainer, I'm going to ask you to tell us about some of the issues that are currently going on.
Glad to, Mary. And I want to make a point that we have a group of people who've signed up, who've indicated they're willing to do that, which is a really good asset, and I'm grateful to them for it. Keeping up is a large claim, attempting to keep up. There are a couple of things that are going on nationally that are very important issues that I think we need to take to heart. The first one is our debt deficit and growing interest rate on the debt. We have just passed, 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, $33 trillion of debt. Now, that's been financed at a very low interest rate, but that has changed drastically. In the coming year, we will have $8 trillion of that old debt roll over to newer securities.
To be refinanced.
To be refinanced at current rates. In addition to that, we will have the $2 trillion that they told us was going to be one or less of new debt roll into that. So that will be $10 trillion at new interest rates. With that pattern continuing, as it will soon come a time when our payments, the expense of carrying the national debt, is the largest single obligation of the federal government, which squeezes the living daylights out of everything else. We are in a hole now, but we are setting ourselves up for that hole being dug automatically for us. I'm sorry?
You know, Rainer, I'm just going to the listeners out there, how many of you have maxed out a credit card and then had to live paying off either 18 or 21% interest? Have you ever been able to pay off the credit card, or are you just paying the interest and paying the interest over and over again, but you still have the debt that's requiring that interest?
A very good analogy to our national problem, absolutely. So this debt ceiling, continuing the government versus the government shutdown, real fight that's going on. We need to make those cuts. We need to do the individual spending bills that have deep, deep cuts. They really need to go below pre-COVID amounts. Our typical income is $5 trillion a year. The expenses have been $7 trillion a year. We are looking now, our economy is slowing. Projections are that our income will be more like $4.5 trillion. So we've got a real, real problem on our hands. Pretending business as usual and a continuing resolution will cut it is just that, pretending. So we need to let our senators and our U.S. representatives know that we're onto them. We want them to fix this problem. And not, because if we don't, no matter who is elected president the next time, we'll be in such a horrible physical condition by then that it's going to be hard to turn things
around.
You
know, we've also seen where currently the administration is trying to replace private business, private jobs that earn money with federal jobs that cost money. A federal job has never made money.
And the percentage of civilian employees who are private sector versus public sector is swinging toward heavy on the public sector, and that is not good. We need to shrink that Leviathan.
Another aspect of what you said, 2007 was the last year that the normal budget process was followed.
Yes.
When Obama came into office, from then on, we have had continuing resolutions. The budget process is supposed to involve, as you mentioned, 10 or 12 separate appropriations mm-hmm. bill that go through the House and then go to the Senate and theoretically are signed by the president. We have not had that. One of the promises made when McCarthy became speaker was that we would go back to the normal budget.
And the House is looking at four of them right now.
But
at the heart of the battle.
But what happened was in August, instead of preparing for this, the House went on recess.
For 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, I think there are a lot of rednecks out there like me that'll tell them no continuing resolution, no CR, shut her down, if that's what it takes.
I agree with you. There will never be a convenient time to shut down the government.
No, and if we don't do it now, we're toast.
It's that sharp a
line in the sand.
And again, we need the normal budget process. We need to get back to what's supposed to be the rules.
Yeah.
The House of Representatives is supposed to control the purse. If they're not doing their job, maybe we need new representatives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we have just the minority, it seems, in the House. What is it? There are four or five
conservatives
people that are really fighting to really take a stand on this. And they're getting a lot of blowback from not only the Democrats, but they're getting it from other Republicans that don't see this as a crisis worth fighting this time. And it's like you're saying, it's just continues on and on. And it's like the analogy of the individual who's living off these expanded credit cards, because, you know, most credit cards, this is a limit, okay? This has no limit.
Yep.
So you get used to being in debt, and so it's $23 trillion, now it's $33 trillion, who cares? You know what I mean? It just becomes numbers after
And they're not real numbers. They in our mind, can't grasp
And it doesn't. It does not include the commitments for things like Medicare, and these other programs that when you add that to that, it becomes over $50 trillion already of what we're committed, the spending we're committed mm-hmm. to doing.
You're talking about unfunded liabilities.
Unfunded liabilities from the guaranteed programs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we need to let our congressmen and our senators know that this is the way we feel. On Tuesday, the Senate voted advancing a short-term spending bill, which is supposed to grease the skids for a CR to go from the Senate to the, mm-hmm. to the House. Well, I think it was 18 people, all Republicans, voted against it. One of them was our own Ted Budd of North Carolina. Now, Tom Tillis wasn't in that group. I called Ted Budd's office and asked that he be thanked. I called Tom Tillis's office and asked that he be given what for, because we need to stop digging this damned hole.
Well, Tom Tillis, if you remember, he voted for that Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah.
Which was so
And that
horrible.
Was nothing more than this tremendous deficit spending for all this green energy nonsense, mm-hmm. which is destroying this country. He voted for it, and so I'm not surprised that he's on that side now.
Well, you bring up something that interests me, is so often they name something that's exact opposite of what it does. It didn't reduce inflation, it increased inflation. This green energy business is really brown energy business, because optimal growth for plants requires more CO2 than we've got today. Mm-hmm. So they call everything what it isn't.
Well, we're also looking at friends of ours up in Rhode Island and Massachusetts that, as they're putting up these windmill farms out in the sea, they are killing whales left and right.
Oh,
and you look at a windmill farm, if an eagle dies from a windmill farm, no big deal. If it dies from somebody accidentally hitting it with a car, oh, you're
or
going to go.
Oil spill.
Or an oil spill
Have
or whatever else.
Well, Trump brought that up in one of his speeches about the impact of those windmills, and he was roundly criticized in the media, saying, well, that's not happening, and he's just against windmills. And so there's a lot of things going on that, like you say, Bob, are not reported. about the damaging effects of the windmills, besides the fact that most of the components are made in China, just yep. like the electric vehicles. So yeah. what we're doing is enriching China, and they hold most of our debt. So, you know, it's a road to destruction.
The scary thing about China is buying up a lot of farmland near military installations.
Yes. But China just unloaded a bunch of our debt, partially because their own economy is struggling and partially because they're worried about America continuing down the road that it's on. Yeah. So what's your...
And that brings up the second big issue that's national, and that is the impeachment hearing. If Joe Biden were an asset of the Chinese Communist Party, could he do anything more than he is doing to build them up and tear us down? What do you think?
Absolutely not. I mean, he's following, if you look back at the Communist Manifesto that was written in the 1800s, these steps that are taking now, that are being taken now, follow that to a T. Mm-hmm. And it's a wide range of things. Not only the government becoming more of the owner of industry and funding things, mandating things like electric vehicles, but also diminishing the family. Mm-hmm. That was part of the conversation, is to take the parents out of decisions about their children, mm-hmm. which is a Democrat leftist objective.
And to take religion out of society.
Absolutely.
So isn't that interesting? Hence, impeachment inquiry, please.
Do you think it's a real effort to impeach Joe Biden, or is it making a show of it?
Well, that's a great teaser, and we're going to stop, and we're going to hear from our sponsors and supporters, and we will be back with an answer. Maybe not the answer you want to hear, but we'll be back with an answer.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. J. Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're glad you stayed with us. Mary?
Just before we left, Hal made a very interesting comment about whether impeachment was real or whether they are playing games. And I want to bring up the point, if you look at the impeachment things that they are talking about right now, they have to do with corruption, which is, you know, should be impeachable. But nobody's saying boo about the dereliction of duty with the open border and about the other stuff. So,
well, it's one troubles me a lot is what's happening to our military. I don't know. I don't know exactly how to express it, but after spending 43 years, 4 months, and 10 days in the Army myself, I know today's Army is not the old Army. Something has gone wrong.
Well, part of what went wrong, I think, Hal, was when they started this mandating the vaccine. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people in the military that would not accept that. They saw it as interfering with their independence, so they left. Then they started this business about the woke agenda. Mm-hmm. So now you have people who might have joined the service, and of course their recruitment is way down. Right. Okay, and the people who would have joined are looking at it and say, that's not the military I want to be part of. So who is being? What happens is you get rid of the people who are independent thinkers, mm-hmm. and you wind up with a military that follows any rule that they're told, and that's very dangerous because if you get somebody in charge of the military and puts them off in the direction they shouldn't be going, they're going to follow along with that. That's what happened in Nazi Germany. The independent thinkers were all eliminated.
Our son John refused to take the jab while he was on active duty, and he left active duty, and he went with the Alaska State Defense Force, which is a state organization similar to the National Guard.
Right.
And he's a colonel in that now, and he's very active in it, and a lot of interesting things have happened that I know about through him, and one of them was when the unit he was with, or among the people that were shooting at that balloon that was up from China over there, and also two Russian soldiers came over in a nice boat, I got a picture of the boat at home, and asked for asylum in the United States. Well, John felt that was above his pay grade, so he turned it over to the intelligence people, and we're not sure what happened to those people. But I think they were sincere in seeking asylum in the United States, and if so, they probably had a lot of information that they could transfer. You know, they had been good intelligence information, so that was interesting to me, what it is to our listeners.
Interestingly, to do with the military, a couple of the proposals that are being looked at the House is amendments to those four funding bills that are being considered. One proposed by Marjorie Taylor Greene, the other proposed by Lauren Boebert, would take the salaries of the Secretary of Defense and an Assistant Secretary of Defense, who's a man who thinks he's a woman, down to $1 per year.
Yeah. Power in the purse.
Yeah, that is how we are intended to control our government, with the power of the purse. I want to see Congress act on that. I don't know what's going to happen to it, but I know there are two brave women who have their heads screwed on straight.
What would be the consequences of that?
We'd probably get rid of them, and that they are two of the most woke people in the whole military. Are the person most responsible for the kinds of things that Alan and Hal have just been discussing, it would get it out if they're successful. Now, it's a long shot, but I'm glad to see they're going for it.
Mm-hmm.
And to do with the business of is it serious or is it show, I think they intend it to be serious. I don't think they have thought it through well enough to make it strong enough. I think they called the wrong people to testify today. They weren't nearly strong enough. It needs to be simple. It needs to be straightforward. It needs to be hard-hitting. It needs to be easy to remember. They're doing an intellectual job. They're not doing a selling job that would get the job done, that would make the headlines, that would give it the gumption, the push, the oomph that it needs to have.
You know, as CCTA members, when we've gone up to the legislature, we have picked up on elevator speeches.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get the point across in 15 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, but you better get it across in that, because that's all the attention that you're going to get from them. And we need anybody that's testifying in front of Congress to get the whole thing across in 15 seconds. And if somebody bangs the gavel to stop them, nope, just talk right
through
it.
And these people were mushy and gave the left talking points,
which was a great point you're making, Bob. And I remember when we were doing that, we often caught legislators in the hall of going to another mm-hmm. meeting or something like that, and they'd listen to you for 15 seconds, but not much longer.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. is the lack of border security an impeachable offense?
Amen. Yes.
Well, I think it is to the extent that when the president takes an oath of office, that oath involves enforcing the laws that have been passed by Congress. That's his responsibility, and he's not doing it. And to me, that is a very clear case to be added to the impeachment possibilities. And I know they're going down this business about the corruption, and I believe that eventually the more information they get, the more clear it's going to become that it has been going on. Like they released something this week where they showed that there was actually a direct deposit to Joe Biden's account from China. And so you know, trying to say, well, that was Hunter. You're going after Hunter. I'm the Hunter. That's going to all come out.
Well, maybe he sold his water skis or something. I mean, you know, they'll come up with some story. I will say that there is if I may honk my own horn here, there is a story up at Right Wing Granny in the past day or two about the fact that the major media did not cover that $260,000 payment that went to Joe Biden's address. They covered Taylor Swift being at the football game, and they covered Trump saying that Mar-a-Lago was worth considerably more than $18 million.
But I think that the power of the fake media, let's call it the fake media, which I like that term, not only because Trump came up with it, but because I think it's accurate. But actually, there's a lot of dissatisfaction about what's going on with Biden. There's a big majority of the country think that we're going in the wrong direction. So there's things coming up. So even though they're not like they used to be, I think people are realizing that the fake media cannot be trusted. And unless you're a firm, you know, loyal Democrat, you're probably going to be looking at the Newsmax. I'm disappointed where Fox News is gone.
Yes.
Real America's Voice.
Real America's Voice. So there are other avenues, and those have to be encouraged, and people have to be made aware. But I think more people are going in that direction.
Well, I think Roku and some of the internet news services have made an impact, as people are saying, you know, they don't want to pay for cable or...
Mm-hmm. It's us.
They don't want to pay for the junk that's on it.
Badlands yep. Media is one I've become noticing lately.
Now, Mary was overly surprised a couple of days ago. I don't remember what the article was, but CBS News made a great realization of something that Mary's saying. They can't say that, quote, they can't say that, or they never would say something like that. And
this was very interesting.
And basically saying that CBS News may be saying, oh, man, too many cats are out of the bag. I better pretend that I'm along with...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the advantage of the impeachment inquiry, because that is such a significant thing to be doing that I don't think the fake media can completely ignore it like they do a lot of the other things that have been going on.
They're going to try.
They're going to have... Well, they're going to try.
They're going to try by showing the things that were...
It's going to have to be reported on.
The CBS news story that he was referring to, CBS 60 Minutes, not known for its conservative stance, did an expose of where the money that is going to Ukraine is going.
Ooh. I remember that now.
And it was amazing. Just so you know, they're covering the salaries of Ukraine's first responders. They're covering the salaries of a team that trains a rescue dog. They're covering the salaries of the divers who were clearing unexploded ammunition from the country's rivers so they were safe again for swimming and fishing. You know that's a priority. And they were giving money to small businesses to keep them in business.
And they're putting our small businesses out of business.
And the comment was made, someone said, how does this help Ukraine win the war? And the comment was, because the economy is the foundation of everything. Well, if that's true, what are you doing for the American economy?
Duh.
And again,
putting us more in debt.
This was a CBS news story. Now, CBS is either reading the tea leaves and figure they better start coming out with some of this stuff, or nobody will watch them. Or I don't know. Have they had a change of heart? I don't know. But no, some of the news, I mean, Fox has obviously gone in the wrong direction.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that? Did you listen to the debates last night?
No, I watched the Trump speech.
Okay, well, I did both. Yeah, I recorded okay. one, watched the other. But they had three moderators. And they had this one lady, Hispanic, apparently Hispanic background. She was asking a lot of leftist questions. I don't know where they got her from. I've never seen
Univision.
Her before. Okay, so that was really disappointing that Fox would put
somebody like
that
on. She was a woman,
like,
but was she really
on.
A lady?
You never could tell nowadays. Or politics, you could tell where they were coming from.
Well, she evidently had a very radical view of racism in America and this kind of thing. I read reports about the debate. And what is the purpose of those debates at this point when you don't have Trump participating? And frankly, I don't think he should participate.
No.
I agree with that.
He's head and shoulders above that group.
I just want to fit in a couple of federal agencies. I think at the Wildlife Agency and the welfare agencies. Okay, the welfare agency continues to pay subsidized food for everybody around here, and the Wildlife Agency says don't feed the bears because they'll become dependent. So
that's where folks, we are,
folks. We're going to go to another break. Okay. Thank you for staying with us. We're going to hear from our sponsors and supporters.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. And again, welcome back, Mary.
Rainer, you had some more comments on impeachment.
Well, basically that I think they ought to get serious. I think they ought to bring in somebody like Elise Stefanik to take charge of that thing and pull it together, because it can be done, but it needs improvement. I hope it gets improvement. To be continued.
Think it has any chance of going through the Senate? I mean, there's enough evidence there. We know that. But can the Senate be put in a position where they're faced with enough evidence to make them vote for impeachment?
Perhaps they can't. But on the other hand, we should never let what some other body might do deter the current body, that's the House,
doing the right
from
thing.
Doing its job.
So we
do
need
your job and see, push the hell out of it, do the best you can do, do your job, and then it's on somebody else, and we need to hop on them like ugly on an ape.
We need to get the evidence
out.
See
that they understand where we're coming from.
Yeah, I think Bob's absolutely correct.
Get the evidence.
The evidence comes out, and even if the Senate does not vote in favor of impeachment or does, convict them, it's going to be out in the public, and it's going to be clear to everybody that this can't be hidden forever. When
yes,
it keeps getting
I don't think corruption covers it. I think it takes treason before it's covered.
The other thing too is you look at this man who has a number of million-dollar houses, and all he's ever done was be in the Senate and be vice president. And this should have been looked at 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And
he's been creaming it off for a long time.
Now, again, last night when Trump spoke before the auto workers,
mm-hmm.
and he said the only time that Biden ever got his hands dirty was handling money.
Yep. I think Trump had a much bigger audience than the so-called debate. And I noticed something that he did last night. I've seen him do it before, probably we all have, and that is he introduced an idea once, went on to say some things that he knew his auditors were going to love, came back to the notion that actually they needed to help Trump get elected, or they would lose their jobs because they would be outsourced to make electrical vehicles and whatnot in China. Not in the United States. And he was concerned. He wanted them to understand it, but he didn't want them to be irritated with him about it because it's a situation that's beyond anybody's control right this minute. Well, not anybody, but anybody who will do anything about it. And so he revisited that intermittently 5 different times. He has a way of planting ideas and nurturing them calmly and quietly in the middle of a speech that covers a gazillion other subjects. How many people have that kind of brain? It's very interesting to watch.
Also, when you think about it, when he was president, he brought industry back America
because of
changes in the tax laws. And again, one of the things that attracts manufacturing, there are a couple of things that will attract manufacturing to a country. One of them is skilled laborers,
mm-hmm.
and another one is cheap energy.
Yes,
and when
we
had
that
energy,
in abundance and going for more.
When we were energy independent, that was incentive for manufacturing to come back here, as well as the taxes and the skilled labor. There was a company, and I don't remember what company it was, during Clinton that outsourced their manufacturing to Mexico and wound up bringing them back because they said the level of skill on the workers was not enough to keep them happy with the quality of the product they were putting out. And that is a consideration.
Sure.
I'd like to point out that the energy shortage, especially fuel, is very dangerous when it comes to protection of our country.
Yes.
Can you imagine what George Patton would have been like in Germany if he didn't have fuel for his tanks?
Well, he just had to wait for the tanks to charge up on the electric
charger.
Can't you see Patton coming
with
that? I'm
sorry, we can't start this battle for another hour because I'm still charging.
I believe that was Rommel's problem,
was
that he ran out of fuel.
Right.
We made sure that he didn't get a supply of fuel.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But can't you picture that? Can't you picture that? Well, I'm sorry, we can't have this battle because my tanks have another hour on the charger, and I just can't do it.
Well, I think that Trump last night, when he gave that speech to the workers, he did a great job of walking the line between supporting industry or the companies and supporting the workers. Because he showed the workers that, you know, the direction that Biden's taking is going to destroy their jobs. And it doesn't matter if they win a few concessions now, a little higher salary, if they don't have a job in 2 or 3 years because of the EV mandate, the electrical vehicle mandate. Well, what does Biden do? He goes there and he stands with the workers. He takes the side of the workers for 12 minutes, by the way. Then he goes off to a fundraiser. And, you know, if you look at the both men and the way that they approached it, Trump was able to get to the root of the problem and to really show these people that he has a solution that will maintain their standard of living and their livelihoods for an extended period of time. Where even if they get what Biden was advocating, 32-hour worker, it's not going to last. It can't last with the green energy dominating the auto industry.
Another crazy thing about it to me is what they've done in Alaska on the North Slope, stop production of oil from there, and that was America's great source for oil and fuel.
We've got 500 years worth of fossil fuels.
Well, none of this stuff makes sense. Mm-hmm. Unless it's just like the open borders, destroying the energy. It only makes sense if you understand that these people are out to destroy this country as we've known it. It's not a mistake. It's not an error. It's not, you know, they didn't make the right decision. I hear that stuff and I hate it because this is all intentional.
Yes.
This open borders is not by accident. It's intentional.
It's evil.
And it has to
it
be seen that way.
It is pure evil.
Otherwise, you're not going to fight it. You're going to think, well, we get somebody else that's not going to be that bad. They all need to go.
The other part, too, is when you looked at the audience at the Biden rally, all 20 or 30 of them, and then you looked at the audience at the Trump rally, that's a message.
Yeah. I like the idea Governor Abbott has of Texas of moving them on up to New York and putting them out there for the New Yorkers to take care of. I think that's made a big impression.
Some of these blue mayors are talking out the other side of
right.
their mouths.
Until he did that, nobody cared. And just an FYI, the mayor of Dallas has switched to the Republican Party because he just says, no, the Democrats are making things worse.
And he's right.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, you see some of the quote, sanctuary cities now are crying because the federal government is not giving them money to be a sanctuary city. Mm-hmm. So what do? We wanted all these people, but you're not giving us money? Well, question, why should we give you money?
Yeah. Where's the housing for the illegal aliens in Martha's Vineyard? I haven't seen construction started yet. Well, have you got any more federal?
I think that's enough for tonight.
We've done federal laws.
We've done federal, okay. Hal, you wanted to point out.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to encourage them to find this week's County Compass newspaper, September 28th through October 1st. It's got some very interesting information about it concerning schools and what's going on in some of our schools. And on the front page is an article by Bethany Torkson, and I'm not sure how you pronounce that, the John Locke Foundation. I do know what that is. She's with the John Locke Foundation. Vouchers for Choice to boost private schools. And so it's families who are sending their children to private schools can get money sent to them in varying degrees of how much, depending on where they are and things like that, their own personal income and so forth. But I think that's going to make a big impression on our public school system to know that the public parents now have a good option that they can afford to take. And I like that. And on page 7, that's our CTA in action page. There's a General Assembly report card, and it includes a lot of the things about parental choice for schools and things like that. And it's written by our own Alan Harrop, PhD, who's sitting here with us tonight. You might want to comment on it, Alan.
Thanks, Hal. Yeah, that was, I enjoyed writing that article because there were several things that were accomplished with the General Assembly, including, as you mentioned, reinforcing the rights of parents. There was a bill against allowing children to be exposed to transgender indoctrination from the first to the fourth grade. There was also a restriction on allowing medical transitional surgery and use of hormone-blocking drugs and so on without the consent of the parents. So there were some positive things. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, like everything else, there were some negative things. The number one thing being, of course, Medicaid expansion. Never should have happened. It's a terrible thing, and it's gonna we're gonna live to regret that, and
it's just gonna bloat more costs. Yeah,
yeah, just creating more entitlements and putting more people dependent on the government.
Alan, I'd like for you to comment on the thing about parental notification of any concerns about sexual orientation and things like that of the children in the school.
Okay. Yeah, the what's happening in the schools is they a student might come in and tell a teacher that, yeah, I want you to call me by a different pronoun. I feel like a girl or I feel like a boy today when they're the opposite gender. So this legislation reinforces the idea that you should base the identification of the child on their biological gender at birth, including participation in sports. That's another one they included. Mm-hmm. So they really took some strong action in that regard, and it was sorely needed. So those are some of the positive things that they did.
Now, when we come back, can we do some of the negative things and some of the other items?
Yes, I'd like to follow up the school choice bill with some comments.
Well, again, we're going to head off to the supporters and sponsors. Thank you for staying with us.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for staying with our sponsors and supporters. Alan?
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, just before we took our break, we were beginning to discuss the school choice bill that was passed by the General Assembly, which expanded the availability of vouchers for parents who send their children to private schools, which was a really a good step. However, it did not go all the way. It left out actually a larger group of students, that is the homeschoolers. There's 162,000 homeschoolers, and there's 120 some odd thousand kids in private school. The homeschoolers were left out completely. They will not get any benefit of the tax money that the rest of us contribute to education. And in a resolution that was presented to the legislature, they were included. So I've contacted a couple of the local representatives about why they were left out, and I haven't gotten a clear picture yet. Some responded, some didn't respond, so I'm not sure. One of them who did respond said that, you want
to
bring
it? I didn't mean to interrupt. I wanted to ask you a question, though. One of the things I remember reading in your article was that there are some homeschool parents who are afraid with money comes restrictions and strings.
I wanted to address that. So I did get feedback from one of our local representatives, and he said that he got a lot of pushback from homeschooling parents that they did not want to get any government support. And he was under the impression that the concern was that the government would impose restrictions on how they go about instructing their children, requirements for end of grade testing, whatever those concerns were. And in fact, this particular legislator said he even tried to get a bill introduced that would give homeschoolers the opportunity to deduct their expenses from the taxes, so a tax relief thing, which would not come near what the vouchers would provide. Okay, and he's told me that they resisted that too. Now, who these people are that are resisting it, I don't know. With 162,000 children in homeschools, I'm assuming there's probably somewhere around 50,000 families that are conducting homeschooling, okay? Some of them with one child, some with multiple children. I doubt very much whether those 50,000 parents were given the opportunity to respond to whether they would have liked to have vouchers if they could get them. I think there are some people who are very vocal about this, who get the ears of our legislators, and they tell them, we don't want that because we don't want the interference. However, like any other problem, problems can be solved. And it really disturbs me when something that's a good idea is shot down because of some concern that could actually be addressed. For example, if the legislature, and I hope they do this in the next session, decides to address the issue of homeschool vouchers, they could put in the legislation that the state school board, which is the primary source of this control mechanism, the State Board of Education, could not present any restrictions or any controlling oversight over the homeschools. So that would, you know, you can write the solution to the problem into the legislation. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that's what's going on. And the other thing, too, is you can write that the bill could be written so that homeschoolers who were afraid of that issue could choose not to get a voucher. Let each individual parent decide whether whatever requirements might be reasonably put on them is what they want to accept or not. If you're a homeschooling parent and you don't want the government involved with anything, then don't accept the voucher. It's voluntary. But they're turning this in to a process where it's either one thing or the other, when the truth of the matter is it could be solved. And just think of it this way. Let's say the average voucher that they're going to get is $6,000, for argument's sake. And let's say a family is homeschooling now, and they have two children. That's $12,000. That would offset a lot of the deprivation and then the sacrifice they have to make to homeschool, because you can't have two salaries anymore. Okay. And the other thing is it would greatly increase the number of homeschoolers in the state, because there'd be a lot of families who can't do it now financially that would step forward. And that's what we want, don't we? Don't we want competition with the public schools?
Yes, we do, but the public school doesn't.
No, well, good. That's what. But whatever they don't want is what I do want.
Competition makes people sharper.
Competition
makes
people
better. Yes,
it does. I'd like to read a little, very short paragraph here that I thought was great in your article in the paper. Another bill of consequence, which also passed by overcoming a Cooper veto, will prohibit gender transition procedures such as hormone blockers and surgery for anyone under age 18, except in unusual circumstances, and only with the consent of the parents. It reinforces the importance of maintaining a person's sexual identity as established at birth. I think that's great. I'm glad you wrote that in there.
Yeah, I'm glad that you added in with the consent of the parent. Whatever.
Right.
You cannot give your child to the school and pretend like I don't know, want to know anything.
Yeah, and unfortunately what's going on is the federal government is funding health clinics in the schools. This is the newest thing that's going on. And in fact, I believe the Craven County Board of Education is considering allowing this to happen. So they would actually have healthcare providers in the schools, and therefore the parents are going to lose more control over the healthcare, where it ought to be, if your child is having a health problem, they refer it to the parents. The parents take whatever action is necessary. Here you're going to have the schools having more people, and who are these people going to be? Are they going to be conservative, pro-America people? Absolutely not. They're going to be leftist-leaning, transition, transgender-pushing people. That's what they're going to be exposed to.
Well, even more than that, they're going to be people that say, in order to keep my job, I have to find a lot of ills in that child.
Yep. Yep. And the other thing about this this mental health issue is behavior problems. I have a granddaughter who I would say she's probably her energy level is probably a little higher than some of the other ones kids, but when she started the first grade, the teacher wanted to put her on medication.
Oh gosh!
Because she was not acting as the teacher. So what you're gonna get? You're gonna get, as you say, Bob. You have more of these people being referred. They have to find people. And there'll be more of these behavior problems that become mental health or medication problems. They're going to medicate these kids.
I want to go back to the homeschooling for a minute and talk about a family that came to America in 2008 from Germany. And the reason they came here was because the Germans would not let them homeschool their children. They have been here since 2008, and they have put in a request to become permanent residents of America because of persecution, you know, sure. political asylum. Whatever. The Biden administration is getting ready to send them back to Germany.
Oh, no.
Now, we've got thousands of people pouring across our southern border that aren't getting deported and aren't in danger of getting deported, that are murderers and whatever. These are not only worthwhile members of society, two of their kids were born in America, so those kids are American citizens.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And the Biden administration is talking about sending them back to Germany, where, again, they will be in trouble because they want to homeschool their kids.
But as you see why they would do that, though, those are the kind of people a leftist administration does not want, people that resist the government control. Those people were resisting the government control.
They were thinking
Germany,
for themselves.
And what are they going to do? In this country, if anything comes up that is incorrect from their point of view, they're going to be resistors. And they don't want those kind of people. They want the compliers. They want the people that are going to go along with what the government
wants. Well, we, on the other hand, welcome that sort with open arms. We need to add to our numbers.
But there are situations in America right now that people who express dissenting opinions are being treated horribly.
Think about the J-6ers.
The J-6ers in prison. And last week or the week before, Ray Epps was charged with a misdemeanor. I mean, there were 60-year-old grandmothers that walked through the Capitol after the police opened the door for them that are facing 10 years in prison.
Makes no sense at all.
No, it doesn't. And it's, again, the government is talking about sending this family back to Germany that includes American citizens and that has been a contributing family to society since 2008, while we're letting in hundreds of thousands at the border.
Mary, while you got the floor, why don't you talk about our upcoming public meeting?
I can do that. October 17th, we will be hosting Lauren Spivak. He describes himself as a free market warrior. He's written a number of books. He conducts economic literacy seminars. I am looking forward to hearing him. He writes adult books and children books. And he's going to come and talk to us about the free market and what it means and how it works and our role in it.
Where, when?
Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern, 7 o'clock, October 17th.
Thank you, folks. That's all the time that we have. Thank you for staying with us. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.